Hey everyone, I'm David Brussell.
And I'm Marcus Terran.
And this is The Thermal Review, a podcast about sensing, imaging, and automation advancements from the perspective of a couple technology geeks.
In each episode, we discuss how the world is changing for cloud-based monitoring, quality assurance, and non-destructive testing.
Welcome to the MobiTherm Thermal Review podcast, where we dive deep into the world of thermal imaging and discuss the latest trends, challenges, and solutions in the industry. I'm your host, David Brussell, and today we're excited to bring you episode 17, titled The Integrator's Dilemma, Avoiding the Serial Number Ones. In today's episode, we'll explore the common challenges integrators face when catering to every unique client requirement. We'll share MobiTherm's journey from attempting to solve every problem that walked through the door to our transition towards standardized solutions that address 95% of common issues, leaving just 5% for customization. We'll discuss how this shift impacted our business model across various departments, including sales, engineering, sourcing, production, accounting, and support. Additionally, we'll examine the benefits our clients, including integrator partners and end users, have experienced as a result of this transition. We have an exciting lineup of stories, insights, and real-life examples to share with you today. Plus, we'll be joined by my co-host, Mr. Marcus Terran, President and CEO of MobiTherm, who will provide his expert perspective on this critical topic. So stay tuned as we unravel the secrets behind overcoming the integrator's dilemma and discover how standardization can lead to greater efficiency and customer satisfaction. Let's get started. Good afternoon, Marcus.
Hey, Dave. I'm very excited about this episode. I think there's a lot to unpack here.
Why are you so excited about this, Marcus?
Do you see, I'm not going to open my shirt, but do you see all the scars?
You know,
lots of wisdom.
There's been a lot of learning over the past, well, congratulations, Marcus, 25 years come this October at MobiTherm. Yeah. That's wonderful. But over the past years, I know there's been a lot of learning that's occurred, that's happened. And interestingly enough, even over the past few months, as MobiTherm has been expanding its partner network globally, some of the dilemmas that have been faced here, it seems to be very common in the integrator space. So,
yeah, not surprising.
Not surprising. Yeah. In fact, I was just telling you earlier today, I had a conversation with an integrator partner in Indonesia this morning who was talking about very similar challenges with regards to solving all the problems that clients have and creating the one-offs repeatedly.
That never happens.
Never happens. I love the title that we've come up with for today's podcast, The Integrator's Dilemma. Many of you or some of you may be familiar with a book written by Clay Christensen titled The Innovator's Dilemma, which is a great read, by the way. Talks a lot about disruption. But this is not to be confused with his book. However, it doesn't lessen or lighten at all the dilemmas as far as weightiness associated with what integrators are challenged with today. So we're going to get started. And Marcus, we're going to start out by doing a little history, looking to the past, going back in time. And perhaps you could describe with, you know, to me and to our listeners, what it was like the early years at MobiTherm, not year 25, but maybe year 5, maybe year 1. I don't know. What can you share with us?
Yeah. No, good point. Yeah. Let's walk back on memory lane. So really started the company what I always call or refer to as a lifestyle business, right? There was more creating a joyful job, making a hobby a job, that sort of thing. And that led me to becoming an integrator, a systems integrator, solving problems, right? So that was my job for myself in the very beginning. And then I got more and more busy with it and accounting tasks kind of took over the Friday afternoon and then the whole Friday, and then it spilled into Thursday, and and I started hiring people. And so then the business started going, and it created pressure points that were no longer related to the fun part of solving problems. They were, you know, they were just like, oh, I got to run a business now, right? I got to do this. So then I was faced with a like decision, like, well, do I hire people? Do I go back to work for somebody else? And I'm like, nah, I have too much fun doing this. So, you know, I kept pushing for it. But it was really, the business was 100% driven by the customer's problem, right? People come to me with, hey, can you solve this? And then I would look at it and I'm like, get some ideas. I'm like, sure. And write a proposal and get working on it. And then you start working on it and deliver the product. And then you got, you know, one more notch on your belt, so to speak. You got this one solved. Great. Off to the next. Next one comes along and it might be completely different, right? Their needs are completely different. So whatever, you go through the notions again and do it all over. And so the story continues. And then later on, the only way to scale the business was add more engineers to the team and solve more of those one-off problems, right? And I mean, you learn a lot. You get really, really, really good at solving tough problems. But from a scalability point of view, it just, it's not scalable, right? And it's, there's always this, okay, it takes, depending on complexity of project, it may take 6, 8, 12 weeks or so to develop the next solution and then deploy it again. And then while you're doing this, you're kind of creating a support nightmare, because you have to keep in mind all the things that you have done in the past. You have to archive all the source code, and then, you know, time continues, and new operating systems are being released, and new development software is being released. Now you got to not only keep track of everything you did, but in the time snapshot that you had back in the days, okay, here's a project from 3 years ago. Well, you haven't had a chance to migrate this to the latest and greatest OS or you know, in your development environment. Now you got to also go back and recreate that old development system to even pull up the source code and you know, deal with this. So you're really creating a support headache where you just almost can't function anymore the more projects you planned out there, right? So it becomes counterproductive even further, right? So that's part of that integrator's dilemma, right?
Yeah. But Marcus, engineers, I mean, we like to say yes. Engineers yes, don't like to say no.
It's like a pack of wolves, right? You throw a juicy steak in the middle and they just go nuts, right? And including myself, because I'm an engineer by trade. So like I have the hardest time saying no, because it's in your DNA. It's like you chose this profession because you love solving problems. And saying no to that, it goes against the grain, right? It's really like, it's almost like you have the feeling you're letting somebody down if you don't solve the problem, right?
Yeah.
But but later on comes the business pressures. You get to pay your bills, you know, and the profitability. Where's the profitability going if you spend that many weeks on developing something, right? And the customers are getting more and more sensitive towards cost. So you can't just, you're going to have a harder time finding customers that agree to cutting a blank check, so to speak. In other words, doing times and materials, right? So you kind of take compromise and say, yeah, I can reuse a little bit code here and a little bit there, and maybe I can shave off a week or two. And then you kind of find yourself agreeing to doing a fixed price project. But then you don't know what you don't know yet. You're getting halfway through the project and there's other problems you didn't see coming. And now you're suffering through those. And it's just eating away on your profit margins while you're doing this, right? And then you're hitting it harder because you just want to get it out the door. And maybe you have to make some compromises to get there. And the customer is breathing down your neck and like, man, when is my system going to come? And it's just, it is a aggravating and you know, demoralizing existence sometimes when you're like, you may have one or two or three projects running at the same time and you're trying to just suffer through this and you're trying to do your best job. And it's just like, it keeps coming and keeps coming, right? So it becomes a very grueling kind of an existence sometimes. And here goes the fun of engineering goes out the window now, because now you're like in survival mode and you're trying to just get this out the door. So this is, you know, I feel the pain out there from all these integrators that live through this, right? And yeah. This is all rooted in not being able to truly reuse your code, right? I mean, it sounds great, but and you can do some of it, but you still end up doing architectural work in your software and doing all of these things. And in the end, it's not as effective as you hope it would be, right?
But Marcus, there's awesome applications. There's awesome solutions. You have shared with me some really cool problems that have been solved by your team. But I think you've clearly described the limitations of saying maybe yes to everything. Maybe you don't have to say yes to everything. You could still say yes, but not to everything, and still solve a problem. Maybe.
Yeah, you can absolutely do that. And our old selves, the harder the problem was, the bigger the yes was, right? It was just an ego thing. Like it's an engineering ego thing. Oh, yes, we can solve this. And we did solve some fantastic problems. I mean, we're very proud of it, right? And we really solved some really, really tough challenges. I mean, we had some large companies come to us that could not figure it out. And they had, you know, a team of PhDs in their R&D department and everything else. And we were able to solve problems. But it's great on the ego side, but in the end, you have to realize you got to pay salaries, you got to pay the bills, you got to make a living, and you have to also manage the stress that comes with the job as well. Not just for yourself, but also for your folks, because if you're constantly in this mode of operation, it can cause burnout, right? Because you're constantly just grinding and grinding and grinding, and then the dissatisfaction starts when you don't get to solve the problem that you had envisioned that it needed to be solved, right? You don't give it the full love because you don't have the time anymore. So you're cutting corners, and then you're not so proud anymore of your work, right? I mean, it may be still satisfying to the customer, but you're like, man, this, I should have done this a lot different and better. And so then you're in this kind of a thing, right? So,
yeah. So Marcus, what, I mean, this is of course hindsight now looking back, but can you say what kind of triggered within you? Was there a single event? Was there something that occurred or transpired that caused you to say, we got to do it different? What was that? Or was it something that occurred over time? Was it more analog and not digital, let's say?
It was more the death by a thousand cuts. Where it's just like, yeah, it's just like, you know, people are just, or the situations are just dragging you and dragging you and dragging you, and you're like, you still try to run, and it's just like you're spinning your wheels in the mud, right? Nothing, there's no traction. You're getting exhausted, and you're like, there's got to be a better way to do this. There's got to be a better way, and then I started thinking about it, and then I was like, how can we make this more scalable? How can I truly reuse something, and really, I mean, reuse it and not touch it anymore. I got to be able to do something like this. So I started looking for commonalities amongst all of these things. I had this vast portfolio of things that we had done, and I was starting to look for commonalities. He said, there's got to be patterns in here that I can, even if it's just a subset of all of these things, there's got to be some way, somehow I can go in there. Even if I just carve out 10, 20% of these, and I can literally duplicate these things. And then maybe if I can, I can also create value for our customers, because now I can deliver faster, I can make it more affordable for them. And then later on, light bulbs went off, like, well, maybe I can share the love and give it to the integrators too, because they must have the same struggles, right? And if I can enable them as well, maybe, you know, maybe there's some good karma in that, and help them out to do something like that. So out of that kind of came first the idea of our Mio, right?
Yeah,
Which is this module, this intelligent monitoring module that now talks to cameras and allows you with a few mouse clicks to set up multi-camera monitoring systems, right? Because that was a lot of these commonalities, where like a lot of people wanted to monitor condition monitoring, temperature monitoring, early fire detection, whatever they had in their minds. And I'm like, what do all of these things have in common? And if I really boil this down to the rudimentary thing, there's always the one tasks. Everybody has ideas of how it should work, you know, from a customer's perspective. But if you, again, if you say yes to everything out there, you will never find common ground, because if you put 10 customers in the room, you get 10 different requirement specifications for the same thing.
Yeah.
So that's the, it's really, it has to do in the end with discipline and saying, like, you got to say no. And no doesn't mean that you reject the customer. No just means that we're getting into a phase of expectation management. And really separating the want haves and cool to haves to what's really needed to solve this problem. Right. And then once you start doing this, it becomes a little easier.
Yeah.
You know, do this
so
kind of things.
Mio is a great example of that, because not only have you sold, you know, hundreds and thousands of those just at Movitherm, but they're everywhere, because it became a solution for other integrators. It was an integrator's solution built by integrators and made available throughout the world. Can you explain, because you can, it doesn't eliminate, if you will, flexibility, right? I mean, it's not, standardization doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, it's 100% locked in concrete and this is the way it is and that's what you're going to get, because we know that there's still variation in applications. There's still variation from one customer to the other. There's still the need for some, if you want to call it tweaking, if you want to call it customization, that still needs to exist. In the opener, we talked about how on your journey, you were striving for like 95% standardization, because now we can allow 5% for that variability, that flexibility. Can you talk how does Mio do that?
Yeah, it took us, before I go there, it took us actually a while to explain to people what Mio actually is. A lot of people in the beginning didn't understand what this was.
Hmm.
They thought in terms of a PLC and it's IO and everything else. But we did kind of a weird shift, and that came from me thinking about the problem that the IO is actually intelligently connecting to the device and actually pulling some of the decision making into the Mio.
The device in this case being what? The camera?
The device being the camera, yes.
Okay, yeah.
Right? So it is a paradigm shift a little bit. People couldn't in the beginning, they couldn't really kind of wrap their head around, like, what do you mean? You do this in there and you know. And so once we got over the hurdle of explaining what it does, and then light bulbs went off in people and like, oh, you mean you can just connect to all these cameras and there's your monitoring? And I said, yeah, you don't even have to program anything. You open up a web browser, you type in the IP address of the camera, it connects itself, it reads the registers and the cameras and everything else. And you can set for, let's say, up to 8 cameras or 7. You can set the alarm thresholds, and here's your monitoring system. And you can manage all of the cameras in one web interface. You don't have to go into each camera again and you know, so it made it a lot simpler, and it's scalable. If you need more than 7 cameras, you plug in another module and there you go. So it's also scalable, right? In terms of within the same application, you can scale it up and put more things in it, right? And you could mix and mingle cameras on the Mio and all kinds of things now on the new Mio Max. And that really changed things, because again, not every monitoring system is that simple, but we solved a large portion of the inquiries about monitoring systems. We could just say, hey, it's the Mio and a bunch of cameras.
Yeah.
And now we could ship, as soon as we had the cameras, we could ship the solution, and we dramatically reduced the cost for the customer. And even to the point where they could self-install. Sometimes we built some switching cabinets around things if they needed some infrastructure around it. And they could even, if the camera was streaming over RTSP, like a compressed video stream, they could still run it into their video management systems or their, VMSs or their network, the NVRs, the network video recorders, and all those kind of things. So it was all working and alarming and doing its thing, and we had now that was a little bit of an innovator's dilemma, really, though, because we used to have these large projects with tens of thousands of dollars development time going in and doing these things. So we did cripple a little bit of that business, because now we have something that's so much simpler and so much cheaper. Now that that need went away for us to sit down and design these multi-camera monitoring systems and software and provide PCs and all those kind of things. But I said, let's go there anyways, because it's going to change the industry. You know, there has got to be something coming out of it. Yeah. And we did that, and it allowed us to do other things, right? It freed us up on the time of the engineering to now say, here's a product now that can solve this. Now we can use that extra time to do the next product, the next solution, and the next thing.
Yeah. You know? And how did it impact selling?
So selling it's an interesting one from a sales cycle perspective. If you're taking just the sheer, let's say there's a $60,000, $100,000 sort of a system there, the sales cycles are very long. I mean, you talk 6 months, 8 months, 12 months, sometimes depending on capital expense, funding approval, and all those kind of things. So you would, you know, and then there's the risk of whether it's going to get approved or not, and you're putting all your eggs in one basket and everything else. Now, in that period of time, I can sell 20 Mio systems. I have zero development time on it. And because the cost is so much lower, I have maybe now a month or two sales cycle. So it all works out, because now I can sell that many more systems and turn these things around. So in the time that I did one $100,000 system, I can do 10 $10,000 systems, or 20 or 30, and get this. So I'm accelerating what I'm doing because I have that scalability now.
Right? Yeah. And Marcus, how did that impact support?
Again, we were smart enough. We actually created a bunch of anticipated support videos, how-tos. How do I set up a camera? How do I set up the 4020 milliamp output? How do I do this? How do I do that? We did short snippets of single topic videos and just redirected everybody to those. Our tech support, even though we have hundreds, if not over 1,000 units out there now, our tech support is next to nothing, which is fantastic. I mean, I had expected a lot more, but it's really almost next to nothing, yeah. which is fantastic, right?
And Marcus, what about sourcing? What about accounting? What about, I could go on and on. And I'm being a bit facetious, right? To prove a point that I mean, it's kind of funny, because part of our vision at Mobitherm is simplifying the complex. Through this standardization process, you simplified the complex. I love hearing, and I love the videos, by the way. You didn't have to go and recreate a new video for every customer, because right. The solutions were standard. You didn't exactly. have to create a new part number every time you wanted to, you know, account for a sale in the accounting system, right? I mean, it was repetitive. It was a single part number now. Yeah, right. When it came to sourcing.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, manufacturing these, again, a bill of material.
Manufacturing, yeah.
And you manufacture. I mean, we did hit some rough spots during the whole COVID situation where we had supply chain issues on some of these chips.
Yeah, yeah.
That was, you know, obviously not predictable at the time. That was a problem. Now we have plenty of stock again. That's a risk, obviously, that we're managing differently and better. But back in the time, I mean, who could ever foresee that sort of thing happening, right? Yeah. And it was actually quite long. It was like a year and a half where these chips were just not available, right? So that was a problem. But we have overcome that. And that led also into another new development and even more powerful platform, which is our ITL gateway and the cloud monitoring solutions. This kind of came out of that standardization and all the feedback we had received from all these customers doing all these different applications. We were actually amazed how many different sort of applications people are using this Mio for, even though I was expecting to hear a lot more feedback. We actually got a lot less feedback than I would have hoped for. I thought also there would be a lot of more follow-on work with integration jobs, this and whatever. Crickets out there. Everybody would just help themselves, and because it was so simple, everybody could just do their own projects.
Yeah.
So there was actually fairly little feedback, but from the few applications that we did get the feedback on the customers, we took all of that in and says, okay, let's build the next best thing, the next better mousetrap, and supercharge what the Mio can do and bring this a level up, and which then resulted into our IoT cloud solution.
The new gateway, which just launched, back in the March timeframe of this year, an amazing product. Yeah. It's like Mio on steroids or supersized. Pretty amazing. And what's interesting, Marcus, and to the point, is with Mio, and we're also seeing this with ITO Gateway, it's not the same application that it's being utilized in. So we're still able to say yes to many customers, to many applications. And I'll come back a little bit to that 5% of customization, right? Because, and you started to go down the path talking, this I remember this shift in the market with the advent of smart infrared cameras, right? We have some capabilities on edge now in the camera, in the sensor. And then being able to leverage that with Mio, and we do that similarly with the ITL Gateway, and I'll ask you to talk about that. But there's still this 5%, and it may be 3%, it may be 7%, I don't know. I call it 5%. But the integrators, if they're the ones setting up the Mio or the ITL Gateway or the end customer, there's still flexibility there because, for example, when you're using that smart camera, I came from the FLIR side of things. I mean, you can program that thing left and right. And the Mio doesn't care. I mean, I'm using multiple regions of interest. I'm setting different temperature threshold alerts and alarms based upon that, triggering things back on the Mio, which, oh, by the way, now I have flexibility there because I can go analog and go 4-20, output off of the Mio, or I have digital capabilities per channel, per camera. I mean, that's where your flexibility comes from, which I love. You want to call it customization, your flexibility, your variability, whatever. But it's still a standard product, but it's able to satisfy so many different solutions. Yeah.
Yeah. It's more like a configurability, right? So
yes. Yeah.
Yeah. You have all these variables that you can set up, like you said, and change the behavior, whether it's for notification, you can choose to get warnings instead of an alarm. And, you can choose to turn things on and off or just give you a text message. I mean, there's a lot of different things. You can change the behavior and of how you are interacting or the system is interacting with you around in such a way that it fits your needs the best, right? You can send out scheduled reports, you can voice calls, whatever the case may be, whatever you prefer, you can do this. Or we have scheduling things where we can say, hey, if this happens on second shift, only send that message to the second shift supervisor, for example, or something. I mean, those are all built-in functionalities that, again, address these moments of feedback that we have gotten from the field, so to speak, from integrators and resellers as well as customers to say, hey, it would be good to have this and it would be good to have that. And the more we heard and the more overlap there was, kind of like a Venn diagram, then we decided, okay, that seems to be something that should make it into the next release in terms of requested feature set, right? So, and with that, it's super powerful in terms of what it can do and how it can change its behavior to fit the requirement set for a particular application.
Yeah, and this didn't require one-off programming or months of engineering resources to develop something, very specific for a single client or single customer. And I love what you talked about. And a lot of it has to do with listening to the market and listening, which is essentially the end users, the customers, which includes integrator partners on the challenges that they're facing. What are they seeing? What customers need? And then developing that standardized solution around those. And you may not be able to solve everything up front. But over time, because now you're not reinventing the wheel, or what we were calling, avoiding the serial number ones, where every product that goes out the door is serial number ones. And I know as a consumer, I don't like that. Right. So I'm a little concerned about that. But now with the ITL Gateway, You were just describing ITL Studio. ITL, by the way, audience, stands for Intelligent Thermal Link. That's Movitherm's platform. It's like beyond Mio that Marcus was touching on with regards to the voice call capabilities, text capabilities, email capabilities, based upon thresholds and alerts and notifications that customers can set up or configure. I like that descriptor, Marcus.
Yeah.
So it still can be adjusted based upon that customer's need by the integrator or by the end user. Tell me the impact that this transition has. And I mean, you had satisfied customers before, for sure. But maybe you can describe a little bit about what's the customer satisfaction like today versus then, but also maybe the level of energy and effort required by the company to make sure that those customers are satisfied. Does that make sense what I'm asking here?
Yeah. So it is difficult, as I said, it is difficult if you're in this integrator's dilemma to really hit it on the nail with a one-off, right? Everybody that develops software understands this. It is difficult to design software because you don't get that many iterations. If you're designing a standard off-the-shelf piece of software that thousands of users are going to be using, it's a whole different ballpark than if you're doing a one-off for a customer, right? And then there's this risk factor to the customer. They're buying something from a company. They don't know if the company is going to be around, and there's just this serial number one out there, right? And they spend tens of thousands of dollars to acquire this, and now it's like, okay, even if that company is still around and they decided not to do this anymore, from a customer's perspective, you know, they're screwed, so to speak, because what are they going to do? They can reinvest again into the next sort of a solution, right? And then there's also the life cycle management there, where again, you know, how often does Microsoft release a new patch and a new operating system, and then the IT department is in the middle of it, and it's such a hassle even once you deploy the system, working with their IT department, the customer's IT department, with all of those new regulations, this and whatever. It's a constant maintenance and life cycle management issue that a lot of customers significantly underestimate, because there's a lot of cost that goes in there, and the PC hardware outdates it every 2 years or so, if that. And so you gotta, okay, now you gotta install the whole thing on a new PC platform with a new OS, and things don't work, and then you're back to the folks that designed the software. I mean, it's like this endless cycle of grief around that technology just to keep it running, right? I mean, how often you come into the office and Windows has done an update and something else doesn't work, right? Even in
once
in
a week, say, every other day,
Microsoft Outlook that millions of people are using, and it's still that problem, right? So that's what I'm saying, like that sort of thing there. And we have kind of eliminated that with the ITL platform. We're running on an embedded application specific embedded system that does that. And again, it's being, you know, pushed out to the masses. And there's no PC infrastructure, no OS to worry about, this and whatever. Everything is being maintained. Even updates are done over the cloud. If you want to, you can update it. If not, you don't have to. You know, and so all of that headache goes away, right?
Yeah.
So,
which is huge. And I'm glad you hit on that, because I was thinking of this as you were describing the situation with the gateway, the ITL gateway, which is a piece of hardware. There are updates that will be made to that device. It's been built in such a way that it's going to grow and it's going to have more capabilities in the future, even beyond what it has currently, which is pretty amazing and just unthinkable. But you can set the gateway up. So like you just said, it will update automatically. You can turn that on. You never even have to think about it. And new updates will come and go, and beep, it'll be behind the scenes. Or you can go in there and you can do more manual, or where you go in and log in and check every now and then. Oh, is there an update? Do I want to do this? Okay, you can do that. The cloud platform, it just happens. And you're going to receive notifications. Hey, we have this new feature. And you didn't have to do a single install. You didn't have to worry about, you know, any kind of incompatibilities with what you were saying, the Microsoft or any other operating system program.
Right.
You don't have to do it, worry about it. I was just with my daughter the other day upgrading her phone, you know, and oh my gosh, that can be just a terrible experience. But even with our software platform, it doesn't matter. If you want to access the ITL Studio from your old phone and then you're picking up a new phone, doesn't matter. You just log in. You have your login credentials. It doesn't matter. You're not have to reinstall an app or mess with that at all. Same thing if you have a new PC at work or if you're operating on a Mac. Doesn't matter. And that's brilliant. It's from a client perspective and integrator perspective, the burden, if you will, of upgrade has been almost eliminated. It's true. We kind of underestimate that. I just bring up the phone because I just experienced the other day and my daughter had to go through all that experience now. Fortunately, most of the things transitioned very well. They took care of her at the mobile store, but there was still that huge concern about making sure all the apps are there and all the photos are there and all that stuff is there. It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's also important to point out, especially for the systems integrators that went through the same sort of evolution and the same experiences that we have been through over the last 25 years, I think these are exciting times because we made the decision to not just keep this technology to ourselves, we made the decision to open this up to the systems integrators out there because we know how tough it is. There's a reason why. I think there was a Gallup poll or something like this, where the most of the systems integrators out there in industry, they do not grow beyond 10 or 15 employees, because of this constraint that you can't scale, right? Because you constantly have to do the work in order to deliver something. It just takes so long, so there's just no way of scaling, right? And most top out at 15. And this is now letting this technology loose on our partner systems integrators around the world will allow them to scale up their business as well. It's not just another product that they can sell and everything else is status quo. No, this can actually disrupt their business in a positive sense in that they can now scale up with us.
Yes.
They can absolutely sell more systems and solve more problems and help their customers quicker without having to employ more resources.
That's brilliant, Marcus. And thinking about this from the end user perspective, I'm getting a tried and true product now. I'm not getting serial number one, installed at my facility to do and assist me with my monitoring. It's tried and true. It's been proven out. And with that, it certainly comes a higher level of satisfaction, certainly of assurance and comfort, just knowing that this is proven. I'm not getting the first item shipped. I'm not buying that first model year car. Sometimes you have the early adopters, and that's fine. But there are others who like something that's a little more proven and reliable. And certainly, talking about products that Movietherm has produced, Mio. I mean, when did you launch that, Marcus? When was that released? Do you remember the year?
That was 5 or 6 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And still being sold today and still in operation.
I mean, we just had this refresh, right?
Everywhere.
With the Mio Max, where you can do all the FLIR A-series cameras and mix and mingle on the same Mio module, which again, that was feedback from the customers. Like, why do I have to buy a different module for a different camera? Why can I not put this all on the same module? And we listened to that and we released the Mio Max that does all of that now.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is absolute solid product. I think we got one or two back for failures. And one of them at least was an abuse situation where they must have put 220 volts into this thing or something because it literally blew up to pieces.
Oh boy.
It was just completely smoked and burned. So and the other one just was a standard sort of a electronic failure. But I mean, the reliability of these products is just incredible. And they're in the harshest of environments.
Yeah.
You know, in these industrial things. And
oh my gosh, yeah.
Extreme temperatures and dust and grime and dirt and this and that. And we had really fantastic experience with it, like almost nothing coming back to us ever, and very little tech support inquiries altogether, which is really, it speaks to the quality of the product, right?
It does. It absolutely does, Marcus. As we wrap up, I want to ask you one last question, Marcus, and this would be advice. I mean, 25 year anniversary this year, come this October, been doing this a while. We've got great integrator partners out there, and I'm so glad that we have the opportunity to work with them throughout the globe and the representation that we have. Is there any parting advice that you would offer or give to not only our partners, but any other integrators who may be, you know, tuning in to this podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I'm not sure if that's advice in that sense, but I'm excited to welcome integration partners from around the world that hopefully what we talked about today resonated with them, because I know how hard it is. I've lived it for 25 years, and we still have a little bit of that left over sometimes here. We just can't completely shed it, I guess. But yeah, if talk to us if you guys feel the same and you have the same struggles. I think we have some fantastic solutions out there where we can grow together, you know, and we can really all together disrupt the market out there and really scale up thermal imaging, around the world and really do some fantastic or create some fantastic value for customers and help save lives when it comes to early fire detection, and prevent disastrous breakdowns when it comes to condition monitoring applications, whatever the case may be. I mean, if we can accelerate the deployment 10x out there, I mean, and you multiply this over the network of systems integrators out there, I mean, this is quite powerful.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Thank you, Marcus. Thank you for that. Well, and thank you to our audience for joining us today. And again, a shout out to our integrator partners who may be listening in. But this wraps up this episode 17 of the Movitherm Thermal Review podcast. And we hope that you found our discussion on the integrator's dilemma insightful. A big thank you to you, Marcus, for sharing your expertise and some of that story. Over the past 25 years. We invite you to visit the Movitherm website for more information. Again, please be sure to subscribe to this podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review and share it with your network. Thank you so very much for listening. I'm your host and my co-host, Marcus, and this is the Movitherm Thermal Review Podcast. Until next time, stay innovative. Thank you.
Thank you.